You are all resolved rather to die than to vanish.
Resolve.
First, you know, Caius Marcius is chief enemy to the people. Let us kill him, and we'll have corn at our own price. But gods know I speak this in hunger for bread, not in thirst for revenge. He's a very dog to the commonalty.
Consider you what services he has done for his country.
Very well, and could be content to give him good report for it. But that he pays himself with being proud.
Nay, but speak not maliciously.
I say unto you, what he hath done famously, he did it to that end. Those soft-conscienced men can be content to say it was for his country. He did it to please his mother, and to be partly proud, which he is even to the altitude of his virtue.
What he cannot help in his nature, you account a vice in him.
What shouts are these? The other side of the city is risen.
Soft. Who comes here?
Worthy Menenius Agrippa, one that has always loved the people.
Forgo you with bats and clubs. Matter. Speak, I pray you.
Our business is not unknown to the Senate. They have had inkling this fortnight what we intend to do, which now we'll show them in deeds.
My masters, my good friends, mine honest neighbors, will you undo yourselves?
We cannot, sir. We are undone already.
I tell you, friends, most charitable care have the patricians of you.
Care for us? True indeed. They ne'er cared for us yet. Suffer us to famish, and their storehouses crammed with grain. Make edicts for usury to support usurers. Repeal daily any wholesome act established against the rich. And provide more piercing statutes daily to chain up and restrain the poor. If the wars eat us not up, they will, and there's all the love they bear us.
Either you must confess yourselves wondrous malicious, or be accused of folly. I shall tell you a pretty tale. It may be you've heard it, but since it serves my purpose, I'll venture to stilt a little more.
I'll hear it, sir. Yet you must not think to fob off our disgrace with a tale. But it please you,
deliver. There was a time when all the body's members rebelled against the belly. Thus accused. That only like a gulf did remain in the midst of the body, idle and unactive, still coveting the viand, never bearing like labor with the rest, for the other instruments did see and hear, devise, instruct, walk, feel, and mutually participate, did minister unto the appetites and affection common of the whole body. The belly answered.
Well, sir, what answer made the belly?
Sir, I shall tell you, with a kind of smile. Air came from the lungs, but even thus. For look you, I may make the belly smile as well as speak. It tauntingly replied to the discontented members. The mutinous parts that envied his receipt, even so most fitly, as you malign our senators, for that they are not such as you.
Your belly's answer, what?
Your most grave belly was deliberate. Not rash like his accusers. And thus answered. True, is it, my incorporate friends, quoth he, that I receive the general food at first, that you do live upon? And fit it is, because I am the storehouse and the shop of the whole body. If you do remember, I send it through the rivers of your blood, even to the court, the heart, to the seat of the brain, and through the cranks and offices of man, the strongest nerves and small inferior veins. From me receive that natural competency whereby they live. And know that all at once, you, my good friends, this said the belly, mark me.
My sir, well.
Though all at once cannot see what I do deliver out to each, yet I can make my audit up that all from me do back receive the flower of all, and leave me but the bran. What say you to it?
It was an answer. How apply you this?
The senators of Rome, this good belly, and you, the mutinous members, for examine their counsels and their cares, digestings rightly touching the wheel of the common, you shall find no public benefit that you receive, but it proceeds or comes from them to you, and no way from yourself.
What's the matter, you dissentious rogues? But rubbing the poor itch of your opinion make yourselves scabs.
We have ever your good word.
Neither will give good words to thee, will flatter beneath a pouring. What would you have, you curs, that like nor peace nor war? The one affrights you, the other makes you proud. He that trusts to you, Where he should find you lions, find you hares. Where foxes, geese. You are no surer now than is the coal of fire upon the ice or hailstone in the sun. Your virtue is to make him worthy whose offense subdues him and curse the justice did it. Who deserves greatness, deserves your hate. Trust ye, hang ye. What's the matter that in these several places of the city you cry against the noble senate, who under the gods keep you in awe, which else would feed on one another? What's their seeking?
Corn at their own rates. But oft they say the city is well stored.
Hang them! They say! They'll sit at a fire and presume to know what's done in the capital. Who's like to rise, who thrives, and who declines. Cite factions, and give out conjectural marriages, making parties strong and feebling such as stand not in their liking below their cobbled shoes. They say there's grain enough.
What says the other troop?
Oh, they're dissolved. Hang them. They said they weren't hungry.
Cite forth proverbs that hunger broke stone walls. That dogs must eat. That meat was made for mouths. That the gods sent not corn for the rich men only. With these shreds they vented their complainings, which being answered, and a petition granted them, a strange one, to break the heart of generosity and make bold power look pale, they threw their caps as they would hang them on the horns of the moon, shouting their emulation.
What is granted them?
5 tribunes to defend their vulgar wisdoms of their own choice. One's Junius Brutus, Asinius Velatus, and I know not. Step the rabble should the first unroof the city, so prevail with me. It will in time win upon power. And throw forth greater themes for insurrections arguing.
This is strange.
Go, get you home, you fragments. What's the matter?
The news is, sir, the Volskys are in arms.
I am glad on't. Then we shall have means to vent our musty superfluity. They have a leader. Callous Aufidius, that will put you to it. I sin in envying his nobility, and were I anything but what I am, I would wish me only he.
You have fought together.
Were half to half the world by the ears, and he upon my party, I'd revolt, only to make my wars with him. He is a lion, but I am proud to hunt.
Then, worthy Marcius, attend upon Cominius to these wars.
It is your former promise.
Sir. It is, and I am constant. Titus Lartius, thou shalt see me once more, strike at Tullus' face. What other stiff stands out?
No, Caius Marcius, I lean upon one crutch and fight with t'other. I stay behind this business.
Oh, true bread.
Was ever man so proud as is this Marcius?
He has no equal.
When we were chosen tribunes for the people.
Marked you his lip and eyes?
Nay, but his taunts.
Being moved, he will not spare to gird the gods.
So mock the modest moon.
And the present wars devour him. He's grown too proud to be so valiant.
Such a nature, tickled with good success, disdains the shadow which he treads on at noon. But I do wonder his insolence can brook to be commanded under Cominius.
Fame, at the which he aims, whom already he is well graced, cannot better be held nor more retained than by a place below the first. What miscarries shall be the general's fault, though he performed the utmost of a man. Giddy censure will then cry out of Marcius, so if he had borne the business.
Besides, if things go well, opinion so sticks on Marcius, shall of his demerits rob Cominius.